Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, Jesus Christ, our faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Amen. As a recent graduate of this seminary, just 3.5 years ago, sitting where you are, I remember well the student body's experience at this point in the academic season. Thus, Exodus 1:11 would seem a fitting text for today's message. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. However, I am certain I was not invited to preach for you today because I am a recent graduate. Instead, it is probably more fitting for me to preach with Veterans Day coming and upon my recent return from Afghanistan after a year of duty as an Indiana Army National Guard chaplain. So the question is, what does my military service have to do with ancient Pharaoh wanting to ease Egypt's dread over the number of people in the nation of Israel by suppressing them by killing baby boys upon their birth? Well, the conflict in Afghanistan does shed some contemporary light on this ancient account in Exodus of an enduring struggle, a struggle that began in the garden and that will prevail until Judgment Day. The struggle, grossly summarized, is that between those who fear God and those who do not fear God, usually because in some way they have made themselves out to be God. Thus, the key text I want to highlight in today's reading is verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. And my short message for you this morning, men and women studying for the ministry of the gospel, is this: fear God and be midwives to the church. Fear God and be midwives to the church. Afghanistan is a mess, quite the opposite of the beautiful Jerusalem about which we just sang. Afghanistan is a mess politically, economically, socially, and especially spiritually. The trash that litters the streets of Kabul is symbolic of the problems in the country. There's so much garbage piled around that the U.S. military service members have taken to calling the country Trash Canistan. The garbage indicates a collection of people who no longer regard themselves as a united nation, let alone religiously united. Having forgotten the good decades before the Soviet invasion in 1979, instead, Afghans see themselves as a conglomeration of ethnic tribes who would rather not have to live together, so much that they will not even pick up their own trash for thinking that some other lesser tribe should be doing it for them in their self-deluded sense of superiority. And so the trash piles up higher and higher, until someone gets motivated enough to remove it by setting it on fire that serves more to blacken the skies over the city. That was the similar problem that we heard about in Exodus chapter 1, in which Egypt was becoming a mess for Pharaoh and his ilk, with so many Hebrews littering their streets in their cities. Having forgotten the years when Joseph saved them from famine, the Egyptians saw themselves in Israel as a conglomeration of ethnically divergent people with whom they would rather not have to live, so much that Pharaoh's version of a trash fire was to have baby boys killed at birth that, you know, led to Moses blackening the skies with plagues of flies, hail, locusts, darkness itself, and finally, the death of Egypt's firstborn. Now, although Western society has figured out how to collect each other's trash, we are piling up the trash of rampant, self-justified sin. Not so much because of a sense of superiority over other people, or people of another tribe, but in accord with that ancient struggle begun in the garden, because more and more people, like ancient Pharaoh, consider themselves superior to God, if not considering themselves gods themselves, thinking and acting like kings and queens of their own creation. Instead of tribes of people not wanting to live together, our modernity has us not wanting to live with anyone in our midst who does not think like we do, which is one of the reasons we flock to the social networks of the internet, seeking distant connections to rationalize and justify our religion of self. And it remains to be seen what our trash fire, what our newborn boys being killed, what it will be that will blacken our skies when someone gets motivated enough to burn and bleed the trash from our electric city streets, if not God himself with the fires and blood of final judgment. That is the world in which you will go to minister with the word of the gospel and the gifts of sacramental forgiveness. And how will you make a difference? The difference now, as it was in ancient Egypt, and what I think will be the only long-term hope for Afghanistan, is people who fear God. Fear him enough to follow his commandments, his rules, his precepts. People willing to follow him because of his grace, his mercy, his love shown in Jesus Christ. Even in religiously torn Afghanistan, where I am happy to report to you that Christian missionaries are at work. Very dangerous work, but nevertheless, they are there with the gospel as we speak. Even the ancient Egyptian midwives knew enough of God's ways not to kill innocent newborn boys. That was no small act of defiance against the king of Egypt. And then to be shrewd enough to preserve their belief by saying, hey, it's not our fault those Hebrew women deliver babies more vigorously than Egyptian women. And God dealt well with them for their belief and their shrewdness by giving them families. And that's why today I call you also to fear God and be midwives to the church. You no doubt know the precious fullness of our Lutheran heritage and doctrine that not only teaches us to fear God, but also to love and trust him above all things. And that is no small act of faithful defiance against the present prince of this fallen world and a culture that follows him blindly, our old evil foe, Satan. And then, when you are called by the forces of destruction in some form to answer why you have done what you do out of fear, love, and trust of God, you too must be shrewd. Not like the midwives who diverted the issue of their belief, but shrewd as Jesus before Pilate and Paul before Festus and Agrippa. You will not have the power of Moses' plagues to convince your adversaries of your true faith. But you will have what you have learned and internalized of the word and true doctrine in your studies here that you will take out to light the world. I find many criticisms of Afghanistan ironic, as if we do not have political corruption, economic uncertainty, social unrest, and especially spiritual disharmony. We and they are not so much unlike. And so as you prepare to minister in our United States of Trashcanistan, be midwives to the church with the fear and joy that you do so in the holy name of the only person in human history to walk the earth who was right to consider himself God and to think and act like the king he is, but instead gave himself as the firstborn son to be killed, to ease the heavy burden and dread of sin's affliction, that we and all of Christ's believers may live as children plucked from death to eternal life. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds to the coming of our Lord.